Henry Show brought to you by Gummo. One bottle helps clean out harmful deposits and can restore your car's lost performance. That's good, clean driving.
And now, here's Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, and Doug joins us from the newsroom of the Orange County Courier to talk tonight about a very interesting poll that has just been released. It seems that people in America, straight people in America, probably more to the point, are now favoring gay marriage. The survey that we're noting here, the Washington Post ABC News poll, along with the USA Today, showed a significant shift in public opinion on civil unions in recent months. The latter survey found 54% of respondents favor civil unions for gay and lesbian couples, 42% opposing them. In a poll conducted in July, 57% opposed. Something's happening, Doug Danger, and I want to talk to you about that. What do you suppose that is?
Well, Phil, I think what's happening is that straight people recognize more than ever that they are probably in some need, I think, of a instruction maybe on marriage. The best way I can think of it, there's no secret, and I think you've made that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been out of the closet myself for the last 18 months, and the roads that I've traveled as an out gay man in America have taken me down some pretty scary roads, roads of hypocrisy, roads of double standards. And when straight people have looked around at how they have treated marriage and how successful they've been in marriage, when they look back on the history of straight marriage, they are looking at, I think, a large bomb crater, one that has abused children, tormented women, divorces, drug abuse, sexual molestation. All of those things are symbolic of the straight marriage. And
you mentioned to me, by the way, Doug, that your sister and two children are staying with you right now.
That's what got me to thinking about straight people supporting gay marriage. Here's my sister Debbie, who's my older sister, not younger, older. She left her husband again. This is about the third time in the last, I'd say, year and a half. She's got her two kids in tow, and I love my sister, but she is typical of a lot of these straights. She's a little bit from white trash. She's married to some guy who works in a speed shop. The kids are filthy. She's smoking like a chimney. And she comes to her gay brother, to bail her, her white trash rear end out again. She's straight. Like most straight people, she doesn't know how to be married. I think straights have finally seen the handwriting on the wall. They need some kind of roadmap, some kind of marker. And they've decided that to support gay marriage is also to save straight marriage. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've studied this, and a lot of the gay people I talk to who don't have my perception only because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, straights have finally recognized if you're straight and you look at the history of straight marriage, you're looking back on a record of failure. And the reason why straight people today support gay marriage is because they're ashamed of their own record, and they're turning to gay people to show them how. And I'm saying to all gay men and lesbians tonight, straights are asking for our help. They're gonna support gay marriage so that we can finally take part in that societal ritual and show them how a successful marriage works.
Well, that's an interesting take in terms of straight people being sort of desperate for a role model.
I think so, and I think they have seen that they have butchered up straight marriage. They basically took straight marriage as, if you will, from if you're a believer in God. Let's say that God handed straight people marriage, and let's say marriage was a baby, a small, innocent baby. And by the time straight people handed it back to God, they'd taken a butcher knife to it. They'd put it in a microwave. They had allowed a rabid, hungry dog to feed on it while they were out to the store.
The violent imagery. You're obviously in favor of gay marriage, you being gay.
I'm in favor of gay marriage. The question is, do we want to let the straights off the hook so easy? Hundreds of years of torment and abuse at the hands of straight people, and now we're supposed to have gay marriage just so we can show straight people how to be successfully married? After they took marriage as a newborn infant and fed it to hungry rats in the tenement of being straight. And that's why I'm a little bit, I guess, angry tonight. I know as a gay man and as a gay journalist, this is good for the gay community, and straight people are going to benefit because they will finally have a good working example of successful marriage.
Doug Danger joins us from the Orange County Courier on gay marriage. The polls show people favoring it more and more. I think it's going to be fascinating to find out how the political candidates for president start to flip on this one, baby, because you know they will. Don't even worry about that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We are on with Doug Danger talking about the recent trend in polls showing more and more Americans, now a majority of Americans, favoring gay marriage. You're a little resentful and you're a little bit angry about this. And when you talk about the hands of abuse, the years of abuse that gay people have taken at the hands of straights.
Well, I mean, we have always...
What are you talking about specifically?
Well, let me say this. We've always been showing straight people the way anyway. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And as a gay man and a gay journalist, I've taken part in showing straight people the way. We've led them... we've led the way in the arts. We've led the way in many ways in political thinking. Marvin Liebman, a founding father of conservative thinking, was gay. J. Edgar Hoover, a famous police officer, was gay. Roy Cohn, who helped fight communism, was gay. Walt Whitman, the great American poet, was gay. And on and on and on we go. We have always had to show straight people how to do it right. And now, straights realize that their grip on marriage is so weak, they want us to show them the way.
But I want to comment on this anger. Do you think it's shared by other gay people, this anger tonight? That now we're going to have gay marriage because straight people need us to show them the way on how to be married. Do you think that this is shared?
I think so, yeah. I think gay people... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That I speak not only for everybody when I write my columns, my entertainment columns. I'm speaking for gay people. I'm a little bit resentful. I feel like gay people are firefighters, and we've been awakened in the middle of the night. Please come and help the straight people again. And so we've got to get up and go and help the straight. I would very strongly advise my gay and lesbian brothers and sisters to continue what I think is a very healthy suspicion of straight people. A lot of you are going to see this in the near future. A lot of gay people are going to hear this. You know, someone's going to come up to you and say, oh, I'm so supportive of gay marriage. I think it's wonderful. My son is gay. My sister's gay. And you're going to be hearing a lot of this. Don't trust it. Just smile, and I would say smile and keep walking as fast as you can. In time, you'll find out who the real supporters are.
Well, if a straight person like me, if I'm saying to you right now, I support gay marriage, I always have.
Well, you supported George Bush, though.
In his war on terror, in the war in Iraq, yes. But I do not support his stand on gay marriage. I don't think that there a constitutional amendment banning it is American at all. I think it's anti-American.
But again, you're doing that so you can kiss up to gays. And you're doing it...
No, I honestly am not, Doug. I'm doing it because I believe in the civil liberties of this country, and I don't believe in limiting them to any one group.
Phil, I'll tell you this, and I've known you for a lot of years, and I think you're a decent guy, but I'm gay. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I have a pretty finely attuned journalist sense. And when a straight person says to me, oh, well, I really, believe in gay marriage, if I had a revolver on me, I'd take the safety off, just to be,
All right, let's take the opposite. What if a straight person came up to you and said, I hate gay marriage, and I don't want it to happen?
They're liars, too, and for a different reason. They're lying because they know they need gay people to show the way on how to be married. Straight people have carved up marriage the way a hungry rabid dog would feed on a tenement child laying at her crib.
All right, these impressions, Doug.
Well, it's necessary, though, Phil, and I don't want to discuss. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't speak in code. The thing is, gay people have big shoulders, and even though we've been spat upon by straights, we've been made fun of by straights, we've been tortured by straights, we've been castrated by straights, we've been jailed by the straight people. You know what? Because we are essentially a loving people, and because we are Americans, we'll show you how to execute a proper marriage. When gay people start getting married in this country, you will see people married and staying married.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
And again, Phil, I don't like being censored by you.
In what way?
When you're telling me, I'm a writer, and I use descriptive phrases.
You're saying that marriage is like a pink baby sitting in a tenement being fed on by rats.
And, well, it is.
It's just a little violent, that's all. My God, it's 7:15 Pacific, 10:15 Eastern. People may be sitting down and having either dinner or a late night snack, and you got me thinking about marriage as a pink little baby being eaten by a hungry dog.
Well, Phil, I'll tell you, the way straight people have treated marriage, the way straight people have treated the so-called sacrament of marriage is an infant, cute and cuddly and beautiful, and they just put it into a microwave and put it on the popcorn setting.
Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Doug Danger about the trend, the poll released today by the USA Today, ABC News, a bunch of them. A majority of Americans now are responding favorably to the idea of gay marriage. Now, this is significant because John Kerry and George Bush both have said that they are opposed to gay marriage. In fact, this was their reading of the American temperament, and it might have been true back in July. Well, it's shifted. Doug Danger says it's shifted because straight people realize that they have not handled marriage very well themselves. They need gay people to show them how. And I got to tell you, I haven't heard that point of view in a while. 1-800-449-8686. The other thing he said that is fascinating is if you are gay, you look upon the favoritism of straight people for gay marriage with suspicion. Don't trust straights, because all they want to do is suck the lifeblood out of you gay people and learn how to be married. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger, who is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, we have him talking about gay marriage. Doug, you are an out gay man, and you're talking about gay marriage and saying that the reason why straight people are now in favor of it is because they need some guidance as it pertains to marriage. Is that correct?
That is correct. And also, the only reason a person is opposed to gay marriage is because they just can't stand a gay couple who's going to show them how. Straight people don't like it when gay... The whole... conservative movement was founded by a gay man, Marvin Liebman. And conservatives don't want you to know that because he was gay. Getting used to gays leading the way in marriage is going to drive a lot of straight people nuts. And I want all my gay brothers and sisters to know they're going to get... I'm gay, all right? Phil?
Yeah.
Okay, and the reason why I say that is because I got my white trash sister living with me with her kids. She's straight. Thank you.
Meaning she
left her husband. Thank you very much. Point made.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Let me go over to Monica. Monica, go ahead.
I had a comment about being straight, and I am a straight person.
I'm gay, right?
Yeah, I understand that you're gay. I've never opposed gay relationships or gay marriages. Ever. I believe in civil liberty.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people that are in favor of gay marriage all of a sudden. Are you trying to kiss up?
She's not trying to kiss up. Why do you say that?
Oh, no.
Well, I've never been opposed to gay marriage. She's trying to get into my good graces.
No, go ahead.
I don't know you. I really don't have to be
I'm a gay man and a gay
graces.
Journalist.
I know. You said that like 100 times already, that you're a gay man and a gay journalist, so I do understand that. But what I do want you to understand is this, that, you know, there are not enough statistics that you, as many as straight marriages, as far as marriages that have failed on gay relationships, I think that
known... The point is that gay people have led the way in everything else. It would be logical for straight people to assume we know how to be married as well. And... barring that,
straight people have taken
marriage and have destroyed it and have... you heard what I said. Marriage is like a baby that straight people put in a microwave.
Well, I think that some people have taken marriages...
No, straight people, because gay people were never allowed...
But you have to realize...
Gay people were never allowed to be married, so it has to be straight people that did.
Well, you have to realize that there are gay people who are married to straight people before they realize
I can tell you right now, you live in the...
Hello? Did we just lose our call?
I'm still here.
I just lost my my caller. Go ahead, Monica. As long as you got this chance, you can... I lost my guest, Mr. Danger. Go ahead.
Okay, no. My point is this, is that he's throwing out statistics about heterosexual people, and, of course, the statistics for people who are gay, we don't have those right now, but there are gay people in those...
Well, yeah, but for you to say that gay people are the reason why straight marriages screw up is stretching.
Well,
that's really reaching.
That it is,
I mean, the fact is that straight people have, in Doug's opinion, destroyed marriage, and to hang it on the fact that there may be a handful of gay people married to straight people is are you back, Doug? I don't know. Mr. Dang, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I don't need you defending me. Okay?
I'm just trying to explain what you were saying.
Okay, but is she still on? You still
here? I'm still here.
I can tell you right now, you live in the same house with if you live in the same house with two lesbians for a week, it will revive your marriage.
No, I disagree with that. I don't need a straight or a gay couple.
Are you married?
Yeah, I'm married.
Are you gay?
I've been married for 14 years.
Okay,
I don't need a gay couple. It has nothing to do with your gender.
What's it got to do with that? The only people that are married in America are straight people, so they're the ones that have butchered up marriage. They took the newborn infant of marriage and carved it up with a pruning knife.
Well, that's a pretty graphic statement, and it sounds as though you said that you've been out for 18 months. You're making a lot of wounded statements.
Well, your marriage, you sound
like someone who, in the civil rights era, has finally stepped up and been able to say what he wants to say. And all this has bottled up in you, and this is the way that you are expressing yourself, which really sounds like you're very, very
angry. Well, why wouldn't I be bitter when my white trash straight sister moves in again with her kids?
Well, I mean, you're not the only one with the white trash, straight people have white trash, white trash relatives also.
Yeah, but you don't, because you're black, right?
And people with the, in their families
all right,
have
okay.
other problems.
All right, Monica, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Jason, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Mr. Henry. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Listen to you every night. Glad you took my call. All I want to say to this reporter is, first of all, the gay marriage is simply against the law of nature.
The whole point is that the straight marriage, which isn't against the law of nature, has been taken by straight people and run over with a truck. So maybe marriage is against the laws of nature, because the marriages that I see, children are beaten, wives are beaten, drugs are taken.
Let me ask you this, sir.
If you guys want to get that marriage thing right, gay people.
Let me ask you. Can I speak?
What's that?
Sir.
You know I'm gay, right? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Okay, you've said that 100 times. I think we're all clear on that. But let me understand.
Are you homophobic?
I'm sorry?
You hate gays?
I'm sorry. Listen to me.
You hate gay
now,
people, right?
This
guy's homophobic. He doesn't want me to say I'm an out gay man and a gay journalist.
Look, I don't have a problem with gay people, okay?
Well, then how come you don't like me saying I'm gay?
Will you let this man talk, please? Let this gentleman talk, please.
Senator, I don't need you telling me how to express my opinion.
Look, all I'm asking you to do is let this guy get a breath in.
Please do. Okay, now, are you telling me that as gay marriages progress...
Yeah, looking at straight marriages like looking
more,
at a retarded child trying to take apart
drug abuse... There will not be drug abuse in these marriages.
No.
There will not be beatings in this
not
marriage.
As many.
And if you are allowed to adopt kids,
not as
then these kids somewhere along the way will not be abused.
I tell you, Jason, straight people love to molest children. Gay people do not. So I would say that gay people are probably going to treat children a lot better than straight people have, which is molesting them, beating them, savaging them. And you know I'm gay, right?
Oh, my God, we already know.
Okay, you're a gay journalist, too, right?
That means that I have a level of perception that goes beyond ordinary people.
Okay. What is
are you
ordinary
gay?
These days, okay? But
you're not gay, so you don't know.
Both sets of my grandparents' marriages lasted 40 years, 50 years.
Right,
I'm happily married for
right,
last 50
were your
years.
Grandparents
my parents
gay?
Have been happily married.
Will you let this guy talk?
I'm asking him, were his grandparents gay?
If they were
no,
gay?
No, my grandparents weren't gay, but they had
that's
long
the point you're making,
happy
though.
Marriages.
Or are you,
okay, they raised children in a loving
right,
home. They didn't beat children. They didn't take drugs.
1-800-449-8686. You gay?
The Phil Henry Show is back.
We're back with Doug Danger. Doug is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. We're talking about the recent trend, the recent public opinion polls, all saying the same thing. Straight people are more in favor of gay marriage now. What do you think this is going to do to the presidential campaign, Doug?
Pull up. If you can hear that child.
I can.
That's one of my sister's children. And she's out tonight. I guess she's trying to find herself one more meal ticket or something. I don't know. But I've got my niece, Candace, here in a newsroom with me while I'm trying to get some work done.
That's your niece?
Absolutely. Because I got this straight white trash sister who's out trying to hustle up another meal ticket at a bar someplace, which is what straight women do. And
well, let's not get into misogyny here about straight women.
Look at Phil. It's everybody knows straight women love gay men, and I've seen enough of it in the different cabarets and nightclubs I go into. You see a lot of trash can behavior. A lot of straight women want to go in there and dance with the gay guys and pretend like, you know, they're with a handsome hunk who's going to have sex with them when they point of fact they know it's not going to happen. You hear this baby crying, Phil? That's the sound of straight marriages, a child in trauma. Gay people to the rescue once again. And I'm saying to all the gay people out there, when you hear a straight... I can give you an example.
All right, let me get to some phone calls. I know you're saying don't trust straight people.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't trust a straight person as far as I could pee into a hurricane.
And it's... Okay, all right, fine. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Suzanne. Suzanne, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just got to say, Doug, I think you sound like a screaming idiot. I understand you're a gay man.
Is that the totality of your comments?
And I understand you're a gay man and a gay journalist, but I think with all the hate and hate-mongering stuff that you're spewing, it's scary.
No, I'm not. I don't hate anybody. I'm just saying, don't trust straight people when they say to me, I'm really in favor of gay marriage. The reason is they're in favor of gay marriage is they've been screwing up straight marriage so much they need gay people like me. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm straight.
I think you're way off the track with thinking anybody wants them to be taught how to be in a marriage.
Are you kidding me? Straight people. Straight folks have taken marriage, and they have taken a razor blade to the throat of the infant marriage.
Oh,
you know,
Jesus, man.
It's true.
Well, you know, I think it's really scary.
Here, let me say this. If marriage was the baby Jesus in a manger, straight folks would have taken a razor blade to its throat.
I think you need to do a little research about domestic violence in the gay community.
You hear that, baby?
I hear that, baby, and I'm sorry you have a white trash sister, and I'm sorry you're so ugly of her.
Thank you for showing a little concern.
But I'm a lesbian who's been out of the closet for 18 years. I'm from the state of Texas, which is pretty much a hate-mongering state. I live in San Francisco. I have a date next month to marry my partner of 11 years.
Okay,
I think the community is strong and powerful.
And you're sitting there kissing up to the straight community? Come on.
I also have as many straight friends as I have gay friends, and I don't assume that they're lying and that they're stupid.
You think they're your friends. Suzanne, the only reason straight women hang around with gay women is so they can say, hey, sister, you know, sisters are doing it for themselves.
I've got friends that I've had for years and years and years.
You have got
straight
people.
And they love me, and they love my partner, and they love my life, and they love their own lives, and they don't need me to teach them how to be married.
I feel sorry for you.
And I think that if you think...
You're just another gay person getting conned by straight people who want to kiss your butt to get info about your lesbian marriage.
I think that you're an idiot to think that when gay people get married, they won't get divorced.
You think Rosie O'Donnell's sexy?
I think that you're an idiot to think that when gay people get married, they won't be getting divorced.
I didn't say that, did I? I said we're not going to...
Saying that you think that straight people want gay people to show them how to be married.
Yeah, but I didn't say we would get divorced. I said we'd show them how to do it way better than doing it right now. Right now, marriage is an infant baby Jesus in a manger, and straight people took a razor blade to its throat.
Oh, and you're so scared with these analogies that you have about killing babies and stuff.
Isn't that what straight people have done to marriage? I mean, Britney Spears, 48 hours,
she's married. I think gay people will do the same thing to marriage.
Oh, you want to believe that?
We don't live in a perfect world.
Because you're a self-hating
lesbian. And we live in a world where that's just not
reality. Come on.
No, she's a self-hating lesbian. She wants to believe that we're going to do the worst job in marriage. Yeah, you want to believe that we're going to screw marriage up because straight people have gotten into your head.
I've been a gay person for 18 years. I've lived my life this way.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
What took you so long to come out of the closet?
Hey, when did you start planning your divorce? I mean,
What took you so long to come out of the closet? Why didn't you just come out of the closet 18 months ago?
I've been out for 18 months.
Why did you just come out 18 months ago?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Because you were terrified of the world that you have to live in now.
You got straight people in your head so much, they got you convinced that they're your friend, and you guys are going to screw up your marriage, okay?
Do you know any gay people?
Hold on for a minute, Doug. I want to jump in.
Phil, this is really not a conversation for you. I'm talking to this dyke, and I want...
Well, wait, that's not respectful. Is it?
It doesn't make any difference. She knows what I'm talking about. And she's letting all these straight people that she calls her friends get inside her head and saying, you know, Suzanne, you're going to marry that woman next month, but you're going to get divorced. Okay, lesbo, you want to act like...
What is with this lesbo and dyke stuff?
Yeah, I just...
You're smiling about everybody
in the world but yourself, aren't you?
I tell you what, Suzanne, if you want to be straight, start smacking your partner and pee all over your marriage certificate.
You know, what you need to understand is there is an issue in the gay community about domestic abuse.
Listen, that,
there are lots of those kind of issues in the gay community just as well as the straight community. It's not a perfect world.
Would you get that child quiet?
That's a straight woman's child crying in the news.
I'm sorry, you are white trash and that your family is white trash.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, for God's sake.
Suzanne, you made
but that doesn't mean that everybody that is getting married believes the same way that you do about the sanctity of marriage.
You butchered
them. I think the whole issue about the sanctity of marriage is hoo-ha. It's just ridiculous. Because nobody has treated it as the deal that they think it is.
Here's what I think about what you just said.
Oh, that was really grown up. Really literate.
Nice.
Well, I mean, she won't let me. What's that song you and your lesbian are going to play at your wedding? Somebody bring me some water. Is that it?
You are insane.
What a mental case.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist standing up for my community.
I understand you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yeah.
I'm a lesbian who's been out for 18 years. I've been living this life a way longer time than you have.
What's so big
I'm
about
very
that?
Out of my community. I'm very out of my
All
family.
Right.
I'm very out of my work.
All right, I
don't
get going.
Treated poorly because
good,
I'm
Suzanne.
A good human, and I don't spit venom all over the place.
Thank you very much, Suzanne, for your call. What about that, Doug? Are you just pouring a lot of venom?
I'm trying to straighten out these straight people, and I'm apparently trying to get through to some of the lesbians and gay men out there and say, you know, am I the only one that ain't being chumped? Am I the only one that ain't being chumped on this? All these gay folks, all the members of my community are saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, straight people are just like us, and they're going to do Oh, God, it makes me want to walk over to my niece, who I love very much, and throw her out of a window because she's the progeny of a straight marriage. And I would much rather take that child right now out of that bassinet and toss her right down in front of the delivery truck as it takes the papers out for tomorrow morning.
Oh, come on, will you? You're going to scare some people.
Well, that's how angry I am.
1-800-449-8686.
My white trash sister, she'd show up.
I got to tell you something, man. You're doing a good job there, but to say you want to throw that child out in traffic... I just hung up on Angie. Sorry, Angie. Call us back. Let me go over to Melissa. Hi, Melissa. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey there. What is the gentleman's name? I'm sorry.
Doug.
Okay.
I'm sorry. What is that?
Doug, I can
My
speak
name is Doug
you know, from a gay or lesbian aspect or however you want to put it, but, I mean, judgment is something that obviously a gay and a lesbian person go through life fighting against with the judgment.
What?
And you yourself are laying it out there judging straight people.
Well, no,
it's not a factor of who is better. It's not a factor of who can portray a better marriage.
I don't need a straight person to tell me how life is, okay? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And
I realize that you are a journalist. I'm very proud of you, okay? I am a lesbian that is out in my community as well, and I've been gay for 5 years. Okay,
but
at least I've been
lesbian
in my relationship for 5 years.
You don't sound like a lesbian. You sound like a straight chick that maybe experimented with it.
Okay,
Aren't
well,
you?
Thank you
isn't
very
that,
much.
Isn't that what you are?
Thank you very much.
Isn't that what you are? Yeah.
No, it's not.
You're some woman out there who's straight, and you experimented with your girlfriend in college, and now you think you're a lesbian when it suits you.
Okay.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I just talked to some dyke in San Francisco, and she agreed with me. She said,
no, she did not. She was a lesbian woman in San Francisco. She did not agree with you.
Say that gays are going to produce a better marriage than what straight people
are. Well, I already explained it to you, okay? Now, you run off with your girlfriends and go pretend like you're lesbians this weekend.
Doug, your dismissal of this woman...
What do you want me to do, okay? Right now, I'm at the end of my rope with this screaming brat. I'll take that kid and toss it out in the street, and that kid's flat head will resemble
therapy.
A flat... Why do I need therapy?
Obviously, you need not to write about it. You need to talk to somebody
about it. You just like to go to the girl bar to have somebody squeeze your rear end in the can, and then you go back to your boyfriend and go, ooh, here's what I did tonight.
Right. Well, you know, I'll tell you, judgment is your biggest sin, anybody's biggest sin.
Okay,
and that is your biggest fault, obviously. And it's sad to know that
I
we do have gay
don't.
People out there that are out there trying to fight for us, actually making us look that bad.
Can you pitch?
You portraying
Can you pitch?
What a gay person's marriage is going to be, it's actually sad.
I'm saying gay people are going to do it. Okay, Ann Hayes, thanks for calling. Look, I'm saying that people...
Will you knock it off with this?
I mean...
No, really. I'm saying that gay people are going to do a better job with marriage than straight people. And why do I say that? Because look at what straight people have done with their marriage. Will you shut that kid up?
Hey, Doug, you should take care of that child and get off the phone with me.
No, I want to make this point. Straight people are going to do better.
In front of a truck.
Straight people have done a terrible job with marriage. Gay people are going to do a better job. And Melissa, you go... I think Helen's free tonight.
You know something? It's not. You don't know the ratios of what. I mean, what? Even straight marriages have actually made it. Which ones have not? Okay, gays are going to have the same problem. But to get out there and say, I would not want you sitting on state legislature getting there saying that this is why we need to marry because gay
yes,
or straight
is.
People do it like this. Come on. What kind of word is that speaking for us?
Listen.
I don't know what community you write for,
Jerry,
but I'm glad that it's not actually the one that's going to make our decision for the gay community.
Are you talking about hour? You're still imagining yourself as being gay, aren't you? Wow, this girl's...
Well, maybe she is.
You are a very judgmental person.
Hey, Phil, will you hang on?
You know something?
I'm
going to
rub some Southern Comfort on that kid's gums.
You don't know my success. I don't really care what your success is. Because
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Really,
look, it worked.
What?
I rubbed some Southern Comfort on a kid's mouth.
Oh, my God.
All right, listen, Melissa, so thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Melissa. And, hey, listen, the girl bar has a special straight section.
Yeah, and there's also good therapists if you need a number, honey.
Well, okay, give me one. I got a number for you.
1-800-FU, okay?
Here's a number for you. 1-2-3, you're a dyke.
All righty then. Education, obviously, is not requirement on the writing aspect.
Well, ring-a-ding-ding.
Okay, one more call here, Doug. I should have hung up on you, in my opinion. Angie, go ahead.
Hey, Doug?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing just great. I got a screaming brat over here and all the straight people calling up and saying, hey, show us how to be married.
Yeah, I've been listening to you.
Show us how to be married.
Yeah, I've been listening to you.
I'm gay.
The comment that I have is that although
is this somebody
gay
else
marriages from
Cold Mountain
have just started happening, there's been a lot of gay couples that's been married.
Couples?
Not actually married. But in their relationship, they are considered married and years, and they break up just like heterosexuals. So they are no different from a heterosexual marriage. Anybody cannot get along.
Can I ask you a question, Andy? Who's heterosexual?
Heterosexual.
I'm sorry.
Okay, don't try to correct my English because you are so proud to be a gay journalist.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Heard, okay?
I am
and
gay.
The comments you make about the baby Jesus in the manger... Son, you're burning hell for that.
No, ma'am.
Throwing your kid over the balcony, that is a
So this lady's against gay people, all right? Well, Jesus said wherever the least of these are, there I am. And you just crucified Jesus.
You just nailed
Jesus to the cross, Angie.
That's exactly what's going to happen to you.
Well, listen, Renee, congratulations on that Oscar. You looked real pretty up there.
This isn't Renee Zellweger.
They hadn't been known.
I like the way you pronounce those F words without your front teeth. Hey, listen,
okay.
you pronounce that word, that F word, without front teeth. I'm a gay. I'm gay.
Get out, all of you. I like the way you pronounce the F without your front teeth. Doug Danger on gay marriage. Straight support it because they don't know how to do it, man. Maybe gay folks can get it straight. Get it right, excuse me.
Are you homophobic?
Maybe I am. No, I'm not. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Naked.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. 404-946-8686.
Justin McElroy is a young man who lives in the Bay Area who started an organization called the East Bay Teen Peer Counseling Center, where teens counsel each other. And he was counseling kids up there that your parents hate you, and the only thing you can get from them are new skates and video games.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
First of all, good job to your mom for dressing like a woman and making herself feel good. And you know what? Let me just tell you something, Justin. Let me tell you something, Justin. From someone who grew up from a broken home and is responsible and doing well, you know what's going to happen to you if your parents buy you those little CDs that you want that's so important to you? You're going to turn out to be a spoiled, rotten brat, which you pretty much are right now, by the way.
Who made you? Do you know why your parents work so much?
Do you know why your dad's gone all week? Because he's trying to provide for you. He's trying to get enough money up to send you to this college that your little bratty ass wants to go to.
Hey, you know something? Who made you God?
Who made me God?
Yeah, you sound like you're
God
or something.
No, who made you God? You are 16 years old, and it is a sad fact.
Excuse me, I'm 17.
If you are counseling teenagers and filling them with this, your parents are not alcoholics. Your parents are pretty conservative if they only drink on the weekend.
You know what? I can see why they drink. You don't know anything about coming from a dysfunctional family. My mom is walking around, and then my dad comes home. And he's all like, you know,
hey, come on, man, let's go fishing.
He's butting in all the
time. Your dad comes home. Butting in? No, he sees how distant you make yourself from him, and he's trying to rectify that situation.
Yeah, but most kids hate their parents, and they don't want them to be around them
like that. Most kids do not hate their parents.
Yes,
most kids are immature.
Can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 23.
Okay, so you don't know anything. You're an old lady, okay? I'm talking about teens.
I'm an old lady.
Yeah.
You know what? When you grow up, when you get to be about 18, you'll probably still be at home.
Hey, sorry,
Or you'll be in the dorms.
Hey, Grandma.
When you get to be 23, you're going to look back at this, and you're going to feel like an ass.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, that's Justin McElroy, and Justin is a young punk who said, hey, you know what? Every kid hates his parents. Just get me a video game, man, and buy me a car and everything's going to be good, which I frankly can't disagree with any of that. That's kind of how I felt growing up, but I guess I come from a traumatic childhood like 99.999% of us. 1-800-449-8686. I just had to recount it for a very nice man today. Paul Cullum with the LA Weekly did an interview with me, and he took me back into my childhood, and I was just weeping on the floor. I was in a fetal position, sucking my thumb, and then Janice walked in, and I immediately said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mom. She's all mad at me now, isn't she? Because I yelled at her about that whole death threat the other night on our radio show that was proffered from Canada by some putz. He said he wanted to kill the President of the United States, right? It's been 2 days, 2 days since we requested the phone records from Sprint. Sprint! Why do they call you Sprint, man? 2 days to get phone records? A guy threatened the life of the President. Am I not supposed to get mad? Are you going to cancel your advertising? Is that what you're going to do, Sprint? Thank God I haven't got phone service from you. It'd probably take a week to freaking put a phone call to 411. I'm okay. Nothing that a microwave baby won't cure. 1-800-449, you know the rest.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-86.
Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealers.
1-800-449-8686. Now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Later on, we have an interview with Gary Bettman, commissioner of the National Hockey League. Mr. Bettman will be on to talk about the most recent incident of violence in the National Hockey League. Some guy pounding another guy's face into the ice or something. Just a couple of more Canadian farm boys beating each other over the head with sticks. And this has got to be the United States of America. The other night we had a call from Canada where the caller said that he would like, this is I'm quoting now, he'd kill President Bush, end quote. I immediately informed the caller that it was a violation of federal law to threaten the president. I immediately asked my producer to get on the phone to the RCMP in Canada, and the RCMP requested phone records, and we put that request through to Sprint, and here we are on day three. No phone records. Now, is it wrong for me to bring this up? Is it wrong for me to point this out? I don't think so. I take that stuff seriously. It must be the nature of this show. It must be the nature of the put-on nature of this show that nobody takes me seriously when something actually happens. And I know there's probably a few grandmothers out there saying, that's what happens when the little boy cried wolf. And then they drop their dentures down their esophagus, and it's over. It's all over. Their epiglottis is jammed, and they find them the next morning the faint smell of, well, whatever it smells like. The faint smell of old lady. I mean, am I nuts? It's like, oh, don't, you know, forget it. What do you mean, forget it? Guy said, I'd like to kill Bush. That's a violation of federal law. Get on the phone. Do-do-do-do. Boom-ba-boom. Ba-boom-ba-boom-ba-boom. Do it everything right. Talking to people, I said, well, I said, let's call the LAPD. Oh, I can't call them. Why? Don't have the phone records yet. Well, at least I use the A word. So I can't use the A word. Otherwise, the FCC will come down on me for that. Meanwhile, some guy's on my show said he wants to kill Bush, and I'm trying to get things rolling on this thing. Get a little bit of action going, huh? Get a little bit of community involvement and police activity going. That was Tuesday night. Here it is. Is today Thursday? It was Monday night when it happened. We're on Wednesday already, and we're still sitting around sucking our thumbs waiting for the phone records. And now I find out from my associate producer, the fine young Mr. Pelton, that he did send a message. He wanted the hour 9 to 10. Sprint sent him the wrong hour, 9:30 to 10:30. And did you tell them the nature of why it was you needed these records?
I did, Phil.
Request. Yeah, you said we received a very serious threat over the phone. It involves federal law, and we have to get cooking on this baby. And somebody on the other end of the phone, I guess, didn't hear you or whatever. I don't know. But as usual in this country, it's somebody else's fault. It's probably going to say it's Chris's fault, or it's the RCMP's fault, or maybe it's my fault. Or maybe it's the LAPD's fault that they didn't telepathically know that this took place on my show. Or maybe it's my fault because I just do a put-on show and nobody should be expected to believe anything that's on my show. Well, if that's the case, how come I sell so much freaking Cortislim? Thank you very much. Which, by the way, is fantastic. I've lost 2 inches off my big fat waist. I'm getting into 38-inch pants again. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hey, I got to take my other one. Where's my Cortislim? I have to take my fourth one today. Hold on for just a minute. Let me just get the old bottle out of my bag here. I carry all my drugs. I mean, I carry all of my vitamins right here in this bag. Put it on down. My handy bottle of Cortislim. All natural, baby. Oh, what's that, Henry? You can put in the free plug now? And a moment ago, you were talking about some serious threat. Now you're putting in the free plug. No, no, no. I just want to take this so I don't turn into a fat oaf. This is great stuff, man. Seriously, all natural stuff, too. That's the beauty. No, none of that ephedra that was murdering people. There's no magic pill, right, folks? But what this does, it is a natural way of blocking a hormone. Anyway, I don't want to do a whole free thing. But the point being here, folks, that I blame myself. I blame myself. I must have done something wrong. I don't know what. Maybe I shouldn't take it so seriously, right? Maybe if somebody calls and says they want to kill Bush, considering the political temperament of the times, considering everybody thinks he's such a horrible guy, and you know, when John Kennedy went down to Texas, they had wanted posters all over Texas with his face on it. Wanted for treason, John Kennedy. This is how they felt about him down in Texas back in the day. Well, guess what happened to him? He got killed. We suddenly realized that some of these things aren't funny. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Gary Bettman coming up. We'll also have a flashback with, actually, we got our mailbag tonight, which is going to be kind of fun. We got a Kobe Bryant update. Steroids in baseball, too. Anybody know what anybody's talking about when they're talking about steroids in baseball? Do you understand what that is? I don't. I don't think anybody does. Oh, well, it's drugs. They shouldn't be using drugs. Well, it's not drugs to get high. It's drugs to enhance performance. You know that, right? Well, yeah, but that's not fair. Right, you're right, it's not fair. It's not fair. I guess it's not. Why isn't it fair? Well, you shouldn't take drugs to enhance... Why? Well, I mean, you should be natural. I should be natural in what? Can I lift weights? Or is that natural? Yeah, no drugs. Well, drugs... look, can I take penicillin? Can I... No performance-enhancing drug. Why not? Because they're drugs. Well, now we're right back to where we started, aren't we? I don't understand why you can't take performance-enhancing drugs. Because the old-time ball players didn't? Well, the old-time ball players were wearing flannel uniforms, too. Maybe they sweat too much. They were taking train rides instead of plane rides. They were playing day games. Things change. Life changes. Frankly, here's where I stand on anabolic steroid use by baseball players. Go ahead and use it, pal. Use it until you can't stand it any longer. Use it until it shrinks up. Use it until you grow breasts. Do you think I care? All these people with their undying devotion to baseball, I say the more things that happen to baseball to hasten its departure from the American scene, the better. Put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Don't put him in the Hall of Fame. Use steroids, don't you? Anything that gets baseball out of our lives once and for bloody all is fine with me. Why am I so hostile toward baseball? I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't make any sense that I probably to a lot of you. Sports, folks, I've been on the inside for so long. As a broadcaster, I've worked for radio stations that had contracts with major league teams. I've worked for radio stations that had contracts with professional football teams. And on and on and on and on. I understand the subculture, the nature of athletics. And I firmly believe that there is no business in the world that has been allowed to get away with more crooked and corrupt behavior than professional athletics. There is no business in the world that has been allowed to get away with corrupt behavior like professional sports. Baseball is a classic example. It even has a congressional exemption from the antitrust laws because it's way back in 1920, the Supreme Court ruled that baseball wasn't a business, it's a sport. Now, we're all grown-up people. This is the year 2004. It's 84 years since that ruling, or something like that. Is there anybody out there that doesn't think baseball is anything other than a business? And yet today, we still hold on to the kiddie fantasies. If you want my honest opinion, and I know you're going to think I'm overstating the case to get reaction. I'm not. I feel this way from the bottom of my very heart. I also feel, I guess I say it at a more increased volume, because I know that nobody is going to do anything about it, but here it is. Baseball has tolerated the use of steroids by its athletes, and for a long time. Football did until 1990. Baseball did until 2002. But the fact of the matter is, they knew it was happening. They didn't do anything about it. They sure as hell weren't about to tell Sammy Sosa and whoever else. They say Mark McGwire was taking an illegal steroid. No, he was not. He was taking a perfectly legal steroid. At least the one he told us about. Maybe he was taking something else on the side, for all I know. But did you really believe they wanted to interrupt the most exciting home run race in 34 years? I mean, they were chasing Roger Maris's record. So all of a sudden, don't take those steroids, baby, because it's, you know, it's bad for the game. I'll tell you what, it was damn good for the game. That's the last time I ever paid any attention to baseball, when McGwire was chasing Maris's record. And then Sosa hits 66, and then Bonds comes along and jacks how many? 72? I mean, it's a joke now anyway, but baseball did it. Baseball, you know, they allowed the whole thing to happen. And I'll say it one more time, and I'll keep on saying it. Guys like Bob Costas, Marv Albert, any of these old salts, any of these guys that just sit there and love to pine away about the traditions, all of these guys could have done something about it. They could have actually acted as journalists instead of what they are, mouthpieces for professional sports. But they haven't got the guts, and they haven't got, frankly, they probably don't even have the journalistic ability. And I know everybody loves Bob Costas because he's just a baby-faced cutie pie, and he just loves the crack of the bat and the smell of the manure. But that guy, if he ever asked a really tough question in his life, he'd probably die from an aneurysm. But those guys could have said, you know what, Mr. Commissioner, or whoever you are these days, Mr. Selig, why don't you do something about this stuff? And why don't you owners quit enabling it? And why don't you players? And furthermore, why don't you stupid fans start putting your money where your mouth is? No, he don't do that because he doesn't get paid to do that. What he gets paid to do, guys like Costas, they get paid to mouth the party line. Baseball is such a groovy thing, man. It's just all that. Coming up, a guy I really respect, Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner. Now, there's a sport, hockey. Yeah, right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm joined now by Gary Bettman, who is the commissioner of the National Hockey League. And Mr. Bettman joins me to talk about another incidence of violence on the ice in the National Hockey League. Todd Bertuzzi is alleged to, he did hit Steve Moore of the Colorado Avalanche. Mr. Moore has suffered a broken neck, the result of a sucker punch observed by people. From Bertuzzi, Moore has sustained a concussion. He will be out for the remainder of the season. Bertuzzi's an all-star forward for the Vancouver Canucks. He's been suspended indefinitely. Joining me from Al's Bowl in San Gabriel is Commissioner Bettman. How you doing tonight, Commissioner?
I'm real good, Phil. We're rolling against a lesbian league from Pasadena, so we're having a little bit of trouble. But
Commissioner Bettman, what about this incident in Vancouver?
Hold on for a minute. That's a spare you got to pick up, too. The guy that got hit...
If I can pull you away from your bowling game.
Sure. It's terrible, but that's what I'm... Well, you want me to tell you what I'm supposed to say, or what do I think?
What do you think?
Well, I think it was great. It was fantastic. I know it sounds cruel, but it's good for the game. Let me tell you why it's good for the game. Violence like this is the only way we can keep the American market interested in hockey. As you well know, Phil, and as most of the real hockey fans in Canada and North America in general know, Americans are bored to tears with hockey. It is basically a very static game, back and forth, with the puck, up and down. So you have to have somebody get their neck broken, their face mutilated, get a stick across the eyes. I would love to see that personally, a skate right across a man's eyes. But barring that, I think what this guy did was a great thing.
Are you saying that violence is the only way to keep Americans interested in hockey and thereby keep the sport in major markets?
Well, absolutely. I mean, hockey in Canada alone couldn't pull as much as the Little League World Series. You know, so what you have to do is put it into some big towns. Now, as big towns go, you got Toronto, you got Montreal, and then you got Moose Jaw and some town that it rhymes with a part of a woman's anatomy, and I will not say it, but I'll tell you it's in Saskatchewan. And I will not say it, but it starts with an R, it ends with...
I know the town you're talking about. So you're basically saying that violence is what Americans like to watch.
Well, I don't know if it's violent. It keeps them interested.
Let me quote here from the coach of the... I believe it was the coach of the Colorado Avalanche. Colorado coach Tony Granato, who said, it doesn't matter what the score was, what the time was, what the place was, what the history was, there's no room in our game for that.
He said that?
Yeah.
That's a good quote.
But you disagree with that.
No, I'm saying that's a good quote. Tony's expected to say that because it sounds good. And remind me, I got to call him later and say, nice touch with that. No place in our game for the violence. I always love that line. People always buy it. So it's great, and I got to call Tony later and congratulate him.
So you're saying Mr. Granato is just mouthing some kind of a script to keep people thinking the NHL is actually not interested in violence, when in point of fact you are?
Absolutely. Tony and all of our coaches know that they have to say, ooh, that's really bad, and I hope it doesn't happen, and you know, all this stuff. But they know that it's a beautiful thing, and of course, the next game between the Avalanche and the Canucks, especially if Steve Moore gets back, which lots of luck with a broken neck. But anyway, no, seriously, I hope he does. Yeah, sure. And I want him to know, so we'll all be out there rooting him on and all that baloney.
Gary Bettman joins me, Commissioner of the National Hockey League. Commissioner Bettman, let me ask you something. There is a good chance that Todd Bertuzzi will be charged by Vancouver police with assault. What do you think of that?
What do I think of it? I guess they got to do their job.
You know, if this man is charged with assault, and this man does jail time, which could possibly have a seriously negative impact on his career, like not playing in the NHL anymore, he's doing all of this at the behest of the National Hockey League. He's doing this because it's good for ratings.
Well, that is true. Okay, you're making a good point. Hold on, I don't want to bowl right now. He just made a good point. You go ahead and take it, Sally. or whoever that guy is with.
Oh, it's a girl.
Okay. I wanted to say that...
Well, can you answer my question?
Well, the answer is easy. I'm glad that the players engage in violence, even to the point of breaking another man's neck. But do you think I'm going to intercede on behalf of them with the police?
Yeah, that's my question.
Of course not. No, once these guys are used up by us, we throw them into the garbage the same way the NBA throws their players into a garbage can. Now, these guys in the National Hockey League do what we tell them to do. We pay them good money to do it. And if they commit an act of violence, which frankly is exciting, and the fans in America love it, fans in Canada like it too, don't make any mistake, but there's just not enough of them up there to, for me to really care about, I would say...
What is that supposed to mean?
What?
About the fans in Canada you don't care about.
Look, if you took every team out of Canada, it wouldn't matter to me. We need big towns, that's all. Toronto qualifies, and everything else is, as far as I'm concerned, you can spit from one city limit to the next. But to answer your question about Bertuzzi, Bertuzzi goes up and he cooks for this thing. They send him up to the Green Mile. What do you think, I care about it? I don't. The kid did his job. He did it well. Unfortunately, he got caught. And
of course he's going to get caught. He was on television.
Well, he shouldn't have gotten caught.
How's he not going to get caught?
Well, I mean, look, you're going to break a guy's neck. Don't let the cops see it.
Well, he's on TV.
He could have picked a night when they weren't watching. The point is, the guy's going to go inside, and I don't care because he's just more grist for the mill, Phil. He's
another piece of meat to feed into the meat grinder.
Sure, he's just a dumb, stupid player. Look, most of the guys that play in the NHL are dumb, stupid, toothless, wife-beating white boys. And we give them a stick and skates, and we go, see, ice, flat disc. You go, you hit. And they go, and they go out and they do it and they have fun. And then we give them big cars. They drive them too fast. They kill their teammates. They take drugs. You know, whatever they do, beat their wives. And it's all fun. Now, this guy went too far. I mean, you can beat your wife. You can even kill a teammate in an automobile accident. But break a guy's neck out on the ice? No, you're going inside, man. I can't do anything for you. However, Bobby Hull making all those racist comments, I hope he comes to dinner at my house real soon.
All right, Gary Bettman joins us. Jeez.
Oh, look at you judging me. Look at you judging me, Mr. Talk Show Host.
Mr. Bettman, I would expect a little bit something higher.
Look, I told you my honest opinion. The hit on that kid the other night is good for the game because Americans like that kind of violence. And whatever's left of hockey fans in Canada, they like it too. It promotes the game. People want to go out and see it. Once the guy goes inside for it, we wash our hands of it and pretend like it really shocks us. Okay, that's the plan. Hit, break neck, coach says it was bad, I say it's bad, guy goes inside, we flush him down the toilet like something really smelly, and we go on with our lives, okay? And we move another Canadian team to America. Next stop, Vancouver. I think a good place for them is Arcadia, California. What do you think?
Well, I happen to know the Canucks are very much loved in Vancouver.
Oh, well. Excuse me, Don Cherry. Woo-hoo! Get you. Look, pal, Vancouver is a nice town. I like it. I think they drink too much up there. I think they let their players drink when they go on the ice. If you want my honest opinion, I think that's what Bertuzzi's problem was. Too much Tesoro Paradiso, man, before a game. Jesus. Look, guys, have fun, but not before the game.
You're saying he was drunk.
Does he play in Vancouver?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was drunk. Aren't you going to say goodbye?
Goodbye. Gary Bettman on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Extremism.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Here we go again, man. Here comes another little bit of fascistic legislature stuffy, junky stuff. You know, everybody complains about the government. I've been making the point for years that it ain't the government I'm afraid of. It's the snooping, busybody, sticking their nose into every business's guy in the car next to you, or person in the house next to you, or person in the apartment next to you, or the co-worker who comes nosing around your desk. That's what you got to be afraid of. And they're easier to deal with than the government. You just tell them to take it and shove it. You don't like it, really, huh? You don't like the my opinion? You don't like my mode of dress? You don't like my loud music? Is that it? Is that your problem? Well, guess what? I don't care. Now, here's what we got. You know, first of all, there's a quote in here that made me want to just chirp up my breakfast, but let me just go on with this. people are all upset now because some guy's driving down the road. It could be you. It could be me. You know, there's television sets and SUVs now. Some people are watching pornographic movies in their car. Well, guess what, Mr. and Mrs. Busybody, stick your nose up the you-know-what of everybody. Well, there should be legislation against that. You know, why don't you just put your eyes straight? Do we have to waste our time, our precious energy, and everything else because you need to control everyone else's behavior? Because it isn't a matter, really, of you feeling that your children are being hurt. We always use children as the excuse. How can you go against somebody who says we want to protect the children, right? It is a ageless argument used by intellectually dishonest people when they say we're just trying to protect the children. Because at many times, yes, we are trying to protect the children, but this is really about adults being uncomfortable with other adults' behavior. No, I don't want my kids to see porn. Okay? When I'm driving down the road and my kids may look at the car next to them and they see porn in another man's car, I will simply say to them, don't look at it. Avert your eyes. Look straight ahead. Okay? If I'm sitting at home and I say, come on, kids, let's watch the Super Bowl because, you know, it's on the TV and here comes Janet Jackson with the boob flapping out. And when I say flap, I do mean flap. Then I have a reasonable expectation that that's not going to happen on the television set in my home. My home. In my car, I watch what I want to watch. That ain't good enough for some people. Now they want to pass laws. They want to pass more laws and more laws and more laws. This isn't people. This is, by the way, if you think this is a problem that the Democrats have, wanting to control everybody's morality, this is generally a problem with Republicans. They're the ones that want to pass every law in the books having to do with how you live your life in your home. Now, some imbecile was quoted here, and I don't know who this guy is. A Flint City in Michigan, some moron was quoted as having said, oh, here she is, Carol Sims, we have a right to peace and tranquility. No, you don't. No, you don't have a right to peace and tranquility. No, you do not. No, you do not. Now, I'm guessing that she was elected because she got the dog crap up off the sidewalks. She was some housewife that invented a new kind of scooper. So everybody went, oh, let's get Carol on the city council. The Constitution, if anybody cares, only guarantees you the right to three things. Life, liberty, and the what? Anybody want to know? Well, I got a Canadian in there. I don't expect her to know. You know, Pelton, or were you asleep in this class, too? Life, liberty, and the what? The pursuit of happiness.
I was going to say
the
that.
Pursuit doesn't guarantee you happiness. Excuse me. Doesn't guarantee you. It allows you to pursue it. How do we pursue it? By getting life and liberty. In other words, I'm allowed to live, and I'm allowed to live free. But Americans now, they think they got a right to everything. They got a right to this. They got a right to that. They got a right to do anything, anywhere, anytime, including telling you in the privacy of your own automobile, you can't look at porn. Now, first of all, if you're an idiot watching television while you're driving, that is against the law. I'm talking about passengers in the car. Passengers. Now, the people that are filing this lawsuit did the very typical thing. My child has been traumatized, and she's all upset. And kids only get upset when adults get upset. That's number one. Understand that rule, and you will always be well on your way toward turning out a human being that might actually contribute something to the world and not be just somebody else that we're throwing in a cage, okay? Children will react the way the adults react. If you say, oh, boy, that's a nasty movie, better avert your eyes, come on. Hey, let's sing a song or whatever. Then the kids are going to go, yeah, that's really nasty. And they'll talk about it for a while, and then they'll chill out on it. But if you start acting like you're all traumatized, and you're all upset, and you're just this, and you're just that, the kid's going to do the same thing. Kids are as healthy, and they're going to do as well as their parents. Now, I don't care how many of you people out there think you know better. You don't. That's exactly the way kids are. You want to make a big deal out of something, then the kid's going to make a big deal out of it. And these two parents, oh, we had to talk to her and she was upset and the this and the that, and we're going to sue and we're going to bring, and hopefully we can take a little bit of money home, maybe a little bit of nice change in our envelope at the end of the day. Oh, did I say money? I mean, my child's happiness, of course, is most important to me. Oh, okay, well, what if we can guarantee your child's happiness and you only get $1? I'm afraid that's not good enough. Yeah, uh-huh, that's what I thought. You bloodsucker. Then they arrested this poor clown in Schenectady, New York. He was arrested last month after rolling past police with a DVD titled Chocolate Foam. What's wrong with that? You want to know why the cops arrested him, by the way? Because he was watching TV while driving a car. The cops didn't care what he was watching. The cops have busted him because he was watching. That is against the law and should be. But, of course, they throw that into this news story to sort of, if you'll pardon the expression, color the content. Get it? Color? Chocolate foam? The detective had a clear view of what was playing through the window. Anyone walking by in the street could have seen it. Schenectady Police Lieutenant Peter, some kind of an Italian name, Junior, said. If he had dark-tinted windows where you couldn't see him, that would have been a public, that wouldn't have been a public display. Now, the cops are liberally interpreting the law. You can't exhibit sexual material in a public place. That ain't a public place. That's your car. That's your car. The Constitution guarantees you protection under the Bill of Rights against illegal search and seizure in your car. So if you can apply that constitutional amendment to your car, as in illegal search and seizure, as in to be protected in your effects, in your personal papers, then they can't turn around and say that watching a movie inside your car is a public place. You can't do it. Now, do you think we got one human being in this country that understands that? One judge, one lawyer, anybody? Probably not. You want to know why? Because we're talking about, what was it again? Oh, yeah, the well-being of our children. We're talking about the well-being of some woman wearing Mother Goose shoes. That's what we're talking about, the well-being of somebody who's 25 going on 100. We're talking about the well-being of some cat with the comb over. He's got the glue over in the blue suit. That's what we're talking about. We don't care about the kids. We're talking about some guy who's got a porn addiction. You know, they say that 90% of these fundamentalist Christians are addicted to porn. What's that about? Did you hear that? You read that one, didn't you? Well, that's, you talk about news. We got this news flash from Pluto. This just in from another galaxy, Christians love porn. Oh, all right. Whatever you say, man, I'm just trying to get along, man. We're all trying to get along. Most states, including Michigan, have laws that make it illegal to watch TV while driving, as well they should. Laws governing the exhibition of pornography vary by state, but experts say they could be applied to drivers as well. Oh, is that what the experts say? Well, I can tell you this, and you have to understand, this is an extremely important point to get. You are not in any real danger from the government. You are in danger from the ever-increasing attitude of these neo-fascists that live around us. These people who want the children to be protected from absolutely everything. And they want to make sure that there are no diseases. And they want to make sure that there's no homeless people. And they want to make sure that everybody feels good all the time. And if one word, one flick of the eyebrow, one tiny little fetid stench is released into the air, then someone needs to die. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have an obesity problem, right? Oh, really? I thought we were healthy, man. We got all these herbal foods. We got the President's Council on Physical Fitness. We're eating healthier than ever before. Today, obesity is overtaking smoking as the number one killer. We're no less healthy or more healthy than we were 40 years ago. And all of the laws that were passed about the content of food, all of the laws were passed about DDT, DSS, DCS, DC, any of that crap, it ain't done diddly squat, my man. We're still just as fat and lazy and unhealthy as we were back in 1960, which probably we weren't all that unhealthy. Maybe we're too unhealthy for some guy who's counting, who's a bean counter back in D.C. That don't mean you're unhealthy. We got kids that are dying at the same rate they did in 1965, even though we got laws against little tiny toys that might go lodged in their throat. I got a freaking bean up my nose when I was 18 months old. I'm still here. I'm breathing. I did, man. Didn't I tell you about that? I got a button up my nose when I was like a kid. I don't remember it. My parents had to take me down to St. Luke's Hospital in Pasadena, and they stuck a vacuum up my snout. and pulled it out that way. What is it with kids sticking stuff up their noses, by the way? Is that, you did it too, Janice, didn't you? Yeah, you too, Pelton, everybody. We stick crap in our nose. And Mark had an M&M up his, and it melted. And they say it melts in your mouth, not in your hands. They didn't say nothing about the nose, though. I'm alive, I'm walking, baby. Kids die? Yeah. Kids die because adults are negligent. That's why they die. All the safety screens on windows in the world are going to help you if a little kid's crawling toward a window and some adult is over there pouring himself another, you know, Jim Beam on the rocks. A kid's going to go out the window, baby. You think a safety screen's going to help? Get some new adults, man. Get some new parents. You put a pussy willow up your nose, Janice. Is that right? One of those little weeds?
The hard gray ones.
The hard gray, you just shoved it up your nose as a kid. Kids stick stuff up their noses, yeah. A friend of mine had a rock up it. No, I know, it was one of my kids. They had a rock up their nose. Okay? And so I put on an excavation helmet, you know, with the light, and I went, all right, let me look. I was trying to make him laugh. And then what I did is I just turned him upside down and shook him. Made $40. All came pouring out of his pockets. Never did get the rock out, though. Had to take him to the hospital for that. All right, coming up is Phil's mailbag. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Now more on John Kerry. And I was talking to a guy today from the LA Weekly. He was interviewing me, and he said, how do you feel about the disconnect that has happened between yourself and your audience as the result of your political views? I said, look, man, I mean, the people that like me doing all the fake voices, they listen to the fake voices. I think we've drawn some new listeners in by the fact that I occasionally express an opinion here or there about things. There's certain things I can't say through characters or through comedy bits alone. I have to communicate them directly. Why is that? Two reasons. I need to do it, and I think people want to hear it. Period. If there are a lot of you people out there that don't dig the fact that I've been doing a lot more political commentary, that's nice. You know, do I care? Of course I don't. You know I don't. I'm getting involved in talking about these things because I went through a personal change as the result of certain recent events, shall we say. And I keep an eye on what's going on with the country. It may have to do with the aging process, too. You know, the older you get, the more you think you can actually help, which, of course, is not true. But, hey, you know, it's always worth giving it a shot. And, you know, my whole thing about being a Democrat, but I can't quite get on board there with the old usual way of doing things in the Democratic Party these days. Kerry is the worst possible nominee they could put in front of the American people for a lot of reasons. I mean, the guy is, he's only about talk. I mean, only about talk. This guy's been on the campaign trail. I don't know how long. He ain't said anything about anything other than Bush is a liar and a crook and all that. Most recently called him a crook. How do you like that? The President of the United States is called a crook. After this guy, Bush, called him up and congratulated him, said congratulations on becoming the apparent nominee of your party. And what does he get in return? Bush is a liar and a crook. Hey, Kerry, if Bush is a liar and a crook, you ought to be in San Quentin. You should be doing time for the lies you tell. You're a Washington insider with your hands stuck out for any lobby that walks along, man. You are so, so full of it. Now, the latest here is this cat with the jobs. He's always banging the jobs thing, which I agree. We got to have jobs. Kerry, you better get down on your knees, man, and pray to whatever god it is you worship and hope that another 9/11 doesn't happen while you're president. Because I got big news for you. There goes another 3 million jobs. What are you going to do about that? Well, we're going to increase Homeland Security to make sure that it... okay. You're just going to do it a different way than Bush is doing it, right? You're going to make sure that a guy doesn't walk into a mall someday in a big American city and blow himself up. scaring the living hell out of shoppers so that nobody goes to the malls anymore. People lay off people in the malls. Suddenly jobs are gone from the service industry. Suddenly jobs are going away, Kerry. What do you do about that, man, huh? You're going to make sure it doesn't happen? Well, to make sure that it doesn't happen, you have to do things. You have to do things like, like the Patriot Act, which, by the way, has never been ruled unconstitutional. Certain provisions were questioned by the Supreme Court, but they had nothing whatsoever to do with the stopping, with the detention, with the seizure of people. Totally constitutional. People think it's unconstitutional, but there's a whole big difference between thinking something's unconstitutional and actually proving it. Kind of like when they thought Clinton was a crook. They went on that Whitewater thing until you wanted to vomit. Never did find a thing, baby. You know, pretty soon you just got to give it up, man. So here comes John Kerry, man. He's going to bring the jobs back. Yeah, you bring the jobs back, all right, man. You better put that security fence up around Disneyland. You better make sure that all of those, landmarks are protected. You better make sure that all the malls are protected. You better make sure the drinking water is protected, because one of them gets hit again. Just one. And nobody wants to go out and shop anymore. Nobody wants to go out and go on vacation anymore. People don't want to fly anymore. I know people to this day that still don't want to fly. The airline industry still hasn't recovered. What are you going to do then, man? What is my party, the Democratic Party, going to do about that? I'll tell you what they do about it. They call Bush a crook. They call him a liar. They say that he's taken special interest in front of the people's interest. And he hasn't done enough about health. And he hasn't done enough about the clean water. And he hasn't done enough about the environment. As if the guy has got nothing better to do. Like he's just sitting around, what, playing dominoes back there? You know something, Kerry? I love this country a little bit more than you, because I take it seriously. To you, it's just another toy, like a rich wife that you can just have some fun with. You can run for president. You can pretend like you give a crap. You can just, whatever the opinion, whichever way the wind's blowing, they ought to call him, they call the wind John Kerry, man. I mean, whichever way the wind's blowing, man, he's blowing with it. You know something? That might be fun in a different time, in a different place, and maybe a different country. Things are a little bit tougher around here these days. We don't need guys like you playing it fast and loose who wants to become president because it's a nice little hobby. Buy the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, okay? Help out some kids. 1-877-616-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back in a moment.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome to this hour of the Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. And it's time now for our mailbag. And these are some emails sent to us by our listeners. Our email address, of course, is phil@philhenryshow.com. Hey, Phil, several phrases of your characters are now part of our vocabulary at work. We work in customer service, and right now our favorite phrase is Robert Reichel's, "The baby's crying, the baby's coming for you." We write this phrase on internal memos to indicate a particularly bothersome customer. When we play voicemail messages, we recite the phrase aloud to indicate that another annoying customer is complaining. Thanks, Mark. Robert Reichel was on our show, and he was saying, "Listen, Sarah, the baby is coming for you. It cries for you." It's something about crying babies, I don't know. I didn't realize that Canada had become the 51st state. Do American laws apply in Canada? Wow, I didn't know that. Can I get arrested if I say I would kill the president of Jerkwanistan or the king of Dushkovia, Jeff? Gee, I don't know, Jeff, if the laws in Dushkovia or Jerkwanistan say you can't. But if you threaten the president of the United States over the airwaves in our country, even if you live in Canada, yes, you can be arrested and extradited, or at least we would demand the arrest and extradition of that person. So yeah, you're right, Jeff. So I tell you what, call my show sometime and you can do it, and you too will be visiting with the Secret Service very shortly.
So nice talking to you.
Putz. Phil, it seems that because of the FCC, my picture has been removed from the wall of female listeners, so I'm sending you a more family-friendly one to put up in its place. I enjoyed being a naked female listener, but I'd rather be clothed than not be there at all. Sincerely, former naked female listener, April. Yes, you can see April's picture. She's in a nice little bikini. A lovely, fetching young lady. April is a listener of ours in beautiful Salt Lake City. Oh, here she is. Yeah, man, that's... Oh, I mean... Phil, I'm listening to your program as we speak, and you're talking about the smoking Nazis. I have to wonder, these PETA goons are handing out comic books to kids whose mother is wearing fur. I wonder why they do not get on these bikers who wear leather make from cowhide. Dan Fletcher. Phil, I was one of the two fat guys you saw at your event last weekend at Aspen. Oh, yeah, I remember you guys. I really wanted you to know that I thought you were the most entertaining panel member Saturday. When you started right out of the chute with the gun and pistol whipping comments, the back of my head was singed from the hot gasping air from the woman behind me. Boy, no kidding. As a blue-collar, democratic, gun-toting, military-supporting Coloradoan, I'm angry at how out of touch most of the people in that ballroom are with middle-class America. I wish I could have told the people in that room, as you did, to quit being such... And then he has to blank it out. Sissies. About the war on terror and being able to protect yourself and your family. It's incredible to me that some people don't see that if we don't fight and win the war on terror, that every other political issue won't matter. Thanks again for the great weekend. Your fan, Mike Lucci. My name is Josh Lucas. I'm a new listener, and I live in Nova Scotia, Canada. I heard that guy making the threat to Bush, and I must say, not all Canadians are like that. It's people like him that gives Canada a bad name. I hope your Secret Service catches him and charges him. What he did was terrorism, and it's just not right. I must say, you probably saved the life of the president, and I thank you for helping to stop the spread of terrorism. Hey, Phil, I love your show. I think you are very talented and extremely funny. I will never forget the show with the auto mechanic who would pretend he was retarded when customers would ask how long until their car was ready. Keep up the great work. I already own the Death to Talk radio CD. It's awesome. Ben Wetzel in Melbourne, Florida. Thanks, Ben. Phil, will you please have Lloyd sing Blue Suede Shoes again? That is so damn funny. Next to Jay Santos, Lloyd is my favorite character, Patrick in Birmingham, Alabama. Did you get Lloyd on the phone? Okay, so Mr. Bonafide is, I think he's on the phone, and we're going to, it's kind of a request, and we appreciate it. I just want to bring him up here, and I'm awfully sorry. Mr. Bonafide from Alhambra, California, has joined us. Lloyd, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, am I catching you?
Yeah, well, yes, sir. Hold on. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry if this is a bad time.
Well, yes, sir, it is. I'm having a root canal as a result of a cracked crown. So what do you want?
I had a request for you to sing Blue Suede Shoes.
Come again?
I had a request, sir, for you to sing Blue Suede Shoes.
Sir, could you stop for a moment, doctor? Sir, I am at the moment undergoing a medical procedure. And for you to ask me to sing Blue Suede Shoes while I am having a root canal, sir, I think is beyond the pale. And
I completely understand, sir, and I didn't mean to. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. It was a listener of mine. I realize you're having your tooth drilled right now.
Yes, I am. What? The doctor's got to keep going. And I find it...
Well, I wondered if you would. Fact of the matter is that... I know you run that senior center, and we would donate, you know, a couple hundred dollars if you do it.
Oh, hold on. Oh, that's not right! Oh, God! Oh, God.
We don't do it.
You said $200?
Yes, sir.
I'll do it. It hurts so bad.
Look, Lloyd, we don't have to do this.
$200 is $200. Can you stop? The doctor says he can't stop. You don't mind if I'm having my tooth drilled while I'm doing it?
No, whatever's best, sir.
That's one for the money, two for the money. Stop it! Stop it! I like it so much! It's one for the money, two to the go, three to get off.
Yeah, that was a good... It was a good shot, baby, but that ain't worth $200, is it? One for the money, two for the show. Ah, forget it. I had no idea that dentists were drilling teeth at 9:15 Pacific on a Wednesday night. Cat probably goes in there for relaxation. All right, anyway, I appreciate your request, but as you can see, Mr. Bonafide is having a root canal, and he was able to get out just a few lyrics of the song Blue Suede Shoes. This has been Phil Henry's Mailbag on The Phil Show. 1-800-449-8686 is our number, and we'll be right back. Don't forget our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, do I have Mr. Bonafide back on the line? I asked, we had a request from a listener that Lloyd Bonafide, who's a Korean War veteran and has been on our program addressing veterans' issues, sing Blue Suede Shoes, because you had sung that, hadn't you, Mr. Bonafide?
Let me tell a story, Mr. Henry. I had, once a year, I raised money for the widows of Korean War veterans by doing a performance at the local mall, and it's always received favorably. I sing Blue Suede Shoes, and I do a trademark hitch kick. And the one year that was barred, the children threw a piece of garbage. This kid threw a Wendy's cup at me, and that's when I hit him with the guitar. But other than that, we've had a very successful run at the Flat Hills Mall. And I can tell you that I've always enjoyed it.
Well, I want to give money to your veterans' benefit if you would sing Blue Suede Shoes.
You understand I was having my teeth drilled.
Yes, sir, I certainly understand that.
Well, Phil, I would love to do that. If you don't mind, I've actually written lyrics to Blue Suede Shoes in honor of a buddy of mine from Korea who died recently. He lost a leg in Korea. His name was Jim Weber.
Okay. And this is a special song?
It's a special song of tribute to Jim Weber, a Korean War veteran who died recently. As I said, he had lost one of his legs fighting for the freedom of the Korean people.
Okay, sir, do you want to sing that?
Yes, sir. If you don't mind a cappella.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, it's one for the money and a two for the show, three to get ready. You go, don't you step on my shoe. Well,
Wait a minute. What is that it?
What?
What do you mean, step on my shoe?
He lost a leg, you idiot. May I continue?
Yeah, okay.
I also have a song I dedicate. A buddy of mine lost his eye. It's called Betty Davis Eye. And I have one called I Only Have an Eye for You.
Okay, you're out of here.
Well, you're a fascist bastard.
The guy lost an eye in Korea. He's dedicating the song, I Only Have an Eye for You. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. There's a story here about... this is Jennifer... Yes?
And I have a song, Bachman-Turner Overdrive, when they sang, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lyric... She looked at me with one big brown eye, and she said...
Yeah, that's great. Because she lost her eye in Korea, too, huh?
She was a Korean girl, yes.
Yeah. Well, let me guess. Have you got a song that ZZ Top called...
That's right. She's Got a Leg.
She's Got a Leg. All right, anyway. Jennifer Garner is one of these actresses that has tried to make the transition from television to films, and it's easy to sit here and take the pot shot. Hey, yeah, baby, you want to be a TV star. But frankly, she's talented. She's a hell of a great actress on that alias. Jennifer Aniston's another one who is trying to bust through. And I got to tell you, Aniston has got some publicists, man. These guys are working overtime because every magazine she's on. Am I right or am I wrong? And she's changed her look a little bit. She's a beautiful woman. She's all over the magazines, but she only does these roles in films that anybody could, I mean, I don't mean any disrespect, but anybody could do them. You could just get out of central casting the wife. Okay? And I would also say I'm not quite sure people are going to the movies because Jennifer Aniston or Jennifer Garner's in the movie. Like Daredevil, let's take that for example. Well, whatever, man. I mean, first of all, the movie blew, if you'll pardon the expression, B-L-U-E. It wasn't any good. And I'm not blaming Jennifer Garner for that. I'm blaming, I don't know, the producers of that. What were you guys thinking, man? Ben Affleck, I'll tell you why. That guy, no, he stunk in that movie. He just sucked. Then you move on to, what was Jennifer Aniston? I just saw the movie she was in. What was that thing called?
Bruce Almighty she was in, too.
Bruce Almighty. Whatever. The movie's all about Jim Carrey. It ain't about her. I mean, why would she take that part? See, this is what I'm asking. And then it occurs. I never thought of it. No women, unlike men, Clint Eastwood, Bruce Willis, Steve McQueen, and a few others, men can make the jump from TV into movies. Those guys I just mentioned did it. And I'm sure I could come up with other names. I can't think of one woman, I mean a big star, not talking about character actress, I can't think of one woman who went from being a TV star to a big screen star.
Oh, yeah, what about Bea Arthur?
I'm sorry?
What about Bea Arthur?
What do you mean, B. Arthur?
Yeah, what about her?
She made the jump from TVs to TV to the big screen?
Yeah.
What movie?
Abe Lincoln in Illinois.
What did she play in Abe Lincoln in Illinois?
I think she played Abe Lincoln.
Why don't you get out of it? Why don't you step in front of another bus?
What about Oprah Winfrey, you idiot?
Oprah Winfrey didn't make the jump. What do you mean, Oprah? Well, maybe you got a point.
Yeah, laugh about me.
B. Arthur, Abe Lincoln in Illinois. All right, Oprah Winfrey. Did she make a jump from TV to the movie? Yeah, that's true. Ain't she been in anything other than That Color Purple, though? I don't think so. So she just did the one, and then that was the end of that. There's no women make that big move, you know? So it ain't her fault. To be a big star on the movie screen, you got to be, I don't know, if you're a woman, audiences are prejudiced. You got to be a brand spanking new face. You know, like if you think of the biggest female stars ever, whether it's Meryl Streep, whether it's Glenn Close, whether it's Julia Roberts, you know what I'm saying? They're just straight off the right off the stage into the, or in Julia Roberts, I don't know where she come from, man, but you know, in any event, those guys didn't do any TV, man. They just jumped right onto the movie screen. They became big, big stars.
What about Betty White?
Will you shut up? Who'd she play? Andrew Johnson?
I think so.
Helen Hunt. Okay, there's one. Helen Hunt. Helen Hunt. But Helen Hunt, would you call her a big, big star in the movies? Yeah, you know. I think she looks good in the movies, man. You know that one she did with Nicholson, what's it called? It's All I Got, or Something's in Your Blouse. As good as it gets. As good as it gets. She was damn good in that. But then what's been on after that? So it's tougher for women. And if you want an example of how biased it may be for females in the workplace, I mean, there's a good... But the problem is, it ain't about the employer. It's about the freaking audience, man. We don't want to see them. We don't want to see them. Why? I don't know why it is. I like to watch a great actress. It's like the LPGA. Why isn't it more popular? Why nobody wants to watch women golfing? I watch it because I like to watch golf on TV. It's a great way to finish off a six-pack of Moosehead. I'll watch anything on sports on television on a Sunday afternoon when I'm packing back the beers, man. I mean anything. Golf. Extreme sports. Roller derby. Bowling. That new PBA is fantastic. But the American people don't want, you know, when it comes to women, they don't want to do that. So we came up with one name, Helen Hunt. And no, it ain't B. Arthur.
Well, I thought it was.
And,
what about Marilyn Monroe?
What do you mean, Marilyn Monroe?
Wasn't she on TV?
I don't think she was.
Yeah, she had a puppet show.
What puppet show does she have, man?
What about Hollywood Squares?
So now what are you telling me? Who's on Hollywood Squares that made the jump from Hollywood Squares into movies?
Sally Field.
What do you mean, Sally Field?
She went from Hollywood Square to a movie.
Listen, stupid. First of all, she was in The Flying Nun.
And, well, that's TV too, but so is Hollywood Square.
Get out of here! Yeah, she was in The Flying Nun, and then she went on to Smokey and the Bandit. Big thing, huh?
Big times.
No, she kicked ass. Nora, what's the thing called? Norma Ray? And the other one, that thing she did with Mel Gibson. She did some great stuff. How come she's not doing anything anymore? Sally Fields, look at this. We got to hunt high and low to think about a woman that made the jump from a movie. That's a hell of an achievement if you think about it. It's way tougher for women to do that.
What about Forrest Gump?
If you don't get out of here, bud, I'm going to kill you. And I mean it. I will kill you. Oh, he means Forrest Gump as in she was in Forrest Gump. Oh, I'm sorry, bud.
Never mind.
How about Goldie Hawn? She went from Laugh-In to the movie Overboard. Actually, Goldie Hawn's fantastic. Did you ever see that Sugarland Express? That's the greatest freaking movie. Goldie Hawn. Who else?
Ruth Buzzy.
Well, you just lock the door. Ruth Buzzy made the big jump. So Goldie Hawn, Helen Hunt, and...
B. Arthur.
No, it wasn't B. Arthur.
Sally Field,
that's it. All right, so I don't know what I'm going to do with that information. We just listed, so in case you feel like you can't get going in the movies, you know. 1-800-449-86. I just saw this thing that Jennifer Garner's doing a training film for the CIA. Isn't that kind of like, you know, me voicing an industrial film? You know, like, yes, the laminated nut fastener factory in your neighborhood can bring job, you know. All right, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Going into our now flashback mode here, we got Vernon Dozier, who owns a service station and was commenting on the high gas prices. He realizes gas prices are high, but he thinks it's an insult for people to say, boy, those prices have really gone up. In other words, you're really slapping that service station owner right in the face. So he says he doesn't allow people to complain about the prices when they're gassing up at his station.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Let me tell you something. That whole cop comment, I'm a cop, all right?
Yeah, sure you are. Sure you are.
I'm a cop. I defend everybody's lives.
Yeah,
all right?
You're a cop. You sound like you, kid, you sound like you just got off Xbox.
Like I just
Wait,
got
you,
off the
you're,
Xbox.
You're a police officer?
Yes, I am.
Where?
I'm a police officer in the Air Force, Edwards Air Force Base. My point is,
if you're on my property, I can sit in your car, have a stick of your gum,
no,
I can take a sip of your coffee.
You go and jack up my car, I'm going to have every squad car I got on you.
Wait a second.
It is not
my, at my gas station?
It doesn't mean you have any rights to anybody's car at all. It's called customer service. People pay for convenience.
They don't pay to come in and insult me. They don't pay to come in and insult me. They insult me. I've got their car. I got all four wheels off before they can come out of the bathroom.
Let me tell you something. You do unto others as they do unto you. You come up and jack up my car, and it's going to turn right back around on you. Either that, or
what?
I know the law. All right, I've been through the academy.
You know the law
know,
on an Air Force
I know
base.
The law.
You know the law on an Air Force base, and it's totally different on an Air Force base.
No. See, let me tell you something.
You can
you
kick
learn
ass.
More just, let me tell you something.
Can't
you? We learn more about what just happens on an air base rather than what happens out in the regular PD. We learn about both of them.
Right.
So that's how much you know.
Hey,
let me
wait
tell
a second.
You something.
What
I
do you
also
learn?
Used to work customer
You guys,
service.
It's legal for you guys to go up and just club some guy with a billy stick if he's drunk in a nightclub,
no.
Okay? Cops can't do that.
No, it is not. No, let me tell you something. It's not legal.
Can I ask you something? I didn't know they allowed 13-year-olds in the military police. When did that start?
13-year-olds? Let me tell you something.
Either that or you're a dwarf. Are you a dwarf? No, I don't want to. I'm not trying to insult you, but are you a dwarf? Yes or no?
He's not a dwarf. Hey. He's got a young-sounding voice. He's in the military.
I will tell you this right now. I think it is a sad day that we let dwarfs run around on air bases in helmets with sticks.
Let me tell you something.
Correct answer.
Before you start running your mouth thinking you know what you're talking about, we can't just walk up and hit somebody. There's a law. You know what the law is? Because obviously you don't. You think that you can go and just pull the emergency brake off of somebody's car and let it roll down a hill and hit them.
What if I don't want her car on my property anymore?
Let me get my statement out.
Okay.
Let me get.
Do you wear underwear as regular pants?
Are you done insulting me?
Yeah, he's done. Go ahead, Ron. I'm sorry.
You're not the only gas station around. Trust me.
Sir,
work in the middle of the
desert. That may be true. Okay.
No.
But at least I do. I repair automobiles, and if you bring your big wheel in.
My big wheel. Oh, hey.
You know, Ron, I apologize. If you want to talk, excuse me, Ron, I apologize to you. If you want to talk, Mr. Dozier, about prices.
Look, you get a dwarf on the line trying to tell me my business.
He's not a dwarf. He's a guy in the military police in the Air Force.
And what, do you got a big wheel with a siren?
You know what? You're racist.
Yeah, no
that's
kidding.
That does make me. I know I'm racist. Not racist. I just don't want some Camaro junking up my property. That's all.
What do you mean, Camaro?
So let me tell you.
I don't want some five-speed Camaro.
So let me say something. If your gas station is, let's say maybe 10 cents cheaper than the gas station next door, you coming on this radio station saying all that stuff about everybody, you don't think you're going to lose your customers by that?
And wait a minute. You just said my price is 10 cents cheaper than the guy next door.
Listen to me.
They're going
to
take my abuse whether they like it or not. Listen. They have to, okay?
No, they don't
have to.
The day
you get a gas tank on that big wheel,
your customer,
sir,
you cannot run a business
sir, the day you get a gas tank on that big wheel, you can come and talk to me. Otherwise, both of you gentlemen could go straight down to the hot spot.
You cannot run your business.
He hung up
customers.
On us, Ron. I apologize, sir. I know that you are your service to our country. I appreciate that. And you do have a good... I don't think that he can get people off his property, can he?
No, he can't. And see, the thing about that...
Hold on. This guy's called back. We don't appreciate being hung up on.
I just want to say I'm sorry to Ron and say we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful...
All right, get him out of here.
Bill Hendry Show. Comedy gold.
That poor kid, man. He did have a very young-sounding voice, didn't he? He's a cop on an airbase, military police officer. And there's that clown Vernon saying, have you got a siren on your big wheel? How disrespectful. That's our comedy gold from yesterday. Vernon Dozier. You know, one day the guy is a high school teacher. The next day he owns a gas station. Well, you know, whatever, whichever way, as I said, whichever way the wind's blowing. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I don't know if anybody's interested, but I thought I'd just give it this little bit of Iraq news. You know, the current string of bombings happening in Iraq, especially targeting Shiites, is the result of an attempt, and so far it looks like it's going to be a successful attempt by Al-Qaeda to start a civil war between the Sunnis and the Shiites. Al-Qaeda is doing it. They're stirring up the Sunnis. They're telling them that the Shiites haven't taken any action against the Americans. They are going to utilize all of the religious, warfare, all of the religious tension in that country to their advantage. So, you know, isn't it stupid to say, you notice how people backed off of that one? Well, there weren't any weapons of mass destruction, and where's the Al-Qaeda link? Well, there's plenty of Al-Qaeda link now. Now I see Kerry, in Iraq, what we should do, and I'm in favor of it, but we shouldn't do it that way. We ought to do it another way. Get out of here, will you, man? Go back and play with the ketchup bottles. Go back and play with the ketchup queen, man. Right now, man, our guys in Iraq, I try not to let a week go by without acknowledging the men and women in Iraq. I think it's a freaking shame. I think it's a shame. People in this, the entertainment industry in this country, the broadcasters of this country, go months without acknowledging those guys. They're dying. They believe in what they're doing. They're being successful in many ways, in many instances, in many cases, against all freaking odds. They're rebuilding that country. And I'm telling you right now, I thank God those guys are there. I appreciate the hell out of them. And now they got Al-Qaeda running around there trying to get a civil war stirred up between the Sunnis and the Shiites. Who knows? Maybe it'll be successful. You know, it's a very freaky, sick part of the world, sports fans. It's a sick freaking part of the world, man. It is the Middle Ages over there. Don't even make any mistake about it. And anybody that wants to get a secular government going, and the people of Iraq who really want to go for this thing called democracy, I mean, they're up against these clowns with the turbans wrapped around their heads, running around with rifles. And what kind of a freaking religion is this anyway? Look at me getting all worked up, and I'm about to talk here to Joanna Rojas. She just called in to say thanks, Phil, for plugging my restaurant. No kidding. Joanna?
Hi, Phil.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, thanks for calling. So Chris got on the talk back and said, you know, you own a restaurant in Thousand Oaks called Joanna Fina's. People are going to think this is some kind of a commercial. But I talk about things on the air that I like. Because there's damn little of it in this world, you know. And just to give people, so there's a place down the street from my house called Joanna Fina's. And it's a Mexican restaurant in Thousand Oaks. And Marie and I went in there one Saturday. We didn't have the kids. We started loading up the margaritas and some of the fantastic food you got. I came back on Monday and I said, my God, this is great.
Yeah, you're going to make me cry. I'm so emotional. We're like you number one fans for years. I never dreamt I'd have a chance to talk to you, let alone have you eaten my restaurant. And I keep getting these people coming in and I always ask, how'd you hear about it? And it's all, every other person that comes in is, we heard about it on Phil Henry. And I'm such a huge booster of yours, and I'm like, well, wow. I want to meet him. I'm not here when he comes, so you've got to come in so
we
can meet you.
We were there one day, and your daughter was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, with her husband. The first time I ever went to your place, it was the one in Ventura, and Elena Jarvis, who was a friend of mine, works for the Ventura paper.
Yeah.
Elena took me, she says, we got to go to this place, Joanna Fina's. Man, oh man, was it fantastic. Now, the reason why I prefer the one in T.O. is because you got that good Don Julio tequila you pour over there. You know, and then I can get, you know, all the other stuff. But it's really cool you called. And, I mean, like I say, this ain't no commercial or anything. I just talk about places that I like. Because, you know something? People are looking for something that's, like, really good, you know. And where do you go, man? And I said, I was talking to Chris. I go, you got to just, like, hang out, go over to this Joanna Fina's. They got that little patio there. And you can get, you know, all the best food.
Well, you know, Phil, my name's Joanna. My husband is Delfino, so the name, Joanna Fina's.
Oh, okay, cool.
And we've been in Ventura for 16 years, and we've just been here about 9 months. But now we have Cuban music on the weekends, and people get up and dance. And you just got to come in when I'm there so I can meet you. And I'm so excited. I am your biggest fan.
Wow, cool, thanks. Well, I usually go over there as a hangover cure. I've never thought about it. I go and get some menudo and, you know, more tequila.
Well, when are you coming in? Let's make a date.
Hey, you know what? How about this weekend? I'll bring my kids in with me, my wife and me and the kids.
I'll be there Saturday night.
Perfect.
But can we talk about art and, you know, all your voices?
You can talk about my character voice. Yeah, come on over and let's do it. Let's do it, yeah. And I'm not even asking for a free meal or anything, although by all rights I should. I'm joking. I know I do not want that. I never do that. I don't like to take comp stuff, you know.
Unless it's
an invitation to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom. But
have you checked out our bathroom when you're there?
I always check your bathroom out. Checked out your bathroom?
Yes.
What do you got in there?
It's kind of special. Well,
you're serving food in there?
It's called the executive suite, and people like to sit in there and eat. They've told me it's so spectacular.
Sit in a bathroom and eat? Oh,
yes.
My God, I got to go there now. It's kind of like eliminating the middleman. Anyway, Joanna, thanks for calling. It's really nice of you. Say hello to everybody there. You guys are great. It's just a quality joint. We like it, and thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Phil. From the bottom of my heart, we love
you. Sure. And we'll see you this weekend.
See you this weekend.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Joanna. Bye-bye. Now, that just sounded like a commercial, and it was just Joanna calling in because we eat in a restaurant. That's all it was. But everybody thinking, what is this, an infomercial? No, man. I don't know what to say to you other than whenever I find these nice little places, I like to tell you guys about them. Because you see, in the world we live in today, man, it's few and far between. And am I right or am I wrong? You know, you go to a place, the guy looks like he's doing you a favor by coming over to the table and taking an order. A lot of you people who work in a restaurant business, I know you work your ass off. Believe me, I know. But you don't know... you just don't realize the effect. When you look like, you know, you'd rather be anywhere but there, a lot of you guys that manage these places, the chain places are the worst. Just the worst. And me, I like to have a little Mexicano, you know?
You better get there early on Saturday.
Why do I got to get there early on Saturday?
Because you just told everybody you're going.
Fine. I hope everybody freaking shows. We'll all go over to Joanna Fina Saturday night. All right. I'll be there at 7, man. You guys want to go? Why don't you bring Emily? Oh, Emily's pregnant. My good man here, Mark. You want to come, Chris? Come on over, dude. We'll be there at 7 o'clock.
Are you buying?
What is this? Am I buying? Am I buying? It always comes down to money. Yeah, when I'm buying, it comes down to money. Come on over. Yeah, I'll buy you dinner. And we'll go over there and we'll just talk about the whole state of the sick, sorry planet and how we're all going to make it better. Or, barring that, let's check out a little NBA on Sunday. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You go to these places and I don't know. I don't like to grouse and complain. I mean, it's about time somewhere along the line little guys get a word out about how it's like that guy from the Daily News. I didn't mean to dump all over him. I said, hey, I can't get your paper. You know, nobody over there can deliver the paper to my house. It took me a month. The guy finally writes back and says, well, Mr. Henry, if I'd known, I would have personally taken charge. I'm not looking for special treatment. I'm just kind of voicing what the average schmo who doesn't have a voice, his frustration. If I hadn't been Phil Henry, you think that guy was going to send me an email? No, of course not. You say stuff just like I said about Sprint. Good and bad, I'll say whatever it is that I got to say. I'm not kidding you, man. It's serious enough in my book to. And how about that email? Hey, I'm in Canada. I can threaten the life of the president. Hey, I got big news for you, Charlie. Try it, man. Watch what happens. In other words, if you commit a crime breaking an American law, okay, and you're in another country, it doesn't mean we ain't going to come looking for you. You threaten the life of the president, it's against the law. I said on the air after 9/11, American Airlines has handled it beautifully. I generally have a pretty good time on American Airlines. The flight attendants generally got a nice look on their face. Everybody seems to be pulling through pretty good. Man, it was a pretty tough time. United, on the other hand, didn't handle it well at all. And you know what? It wasn't any surprise when I finally heard that they were on the verge of bankruptcy. Because every time you got on an airplane, they looked as if they had a gun to the back of their heads. I understand it was a horrible experience. But if you want to talk about moving on, if you want to talk about getting those jobs back that Kerry keeps blathering about, what are you going to do, Kerry? Well, how are you going to get jobs back? A lot of smoke and mirrors, man. The first guy that walks into a mall and blows himself up, man, they're all going to go away. You know, and I said it, and like anything else, you get tired of being put on hold. You get sick and tired of listening to the voice on hold. You get sick and tired of hearing somebody say they'll be right with you because your call's important to them. Oh, come on. You're on hold forever, man, talking to people. You can't get any service sometime. So when somebody comes around the corner and they got some quality product to push, why not tell the freaking world about it? You ever try calling, like, for instance, like you don't even make the call because you know what it's going to be. You just know it's going to be hell, right? Have you ever, it says, if you have any problem, call our customer service line and you're going to be on it forever. It's like calling the L.A. County Tax Collector's Office. If you own a house, you got to deal with that. It's like try calling the California Department of Motor Vehicles. Are you putting us on or what? You ain't never going to come to the phone. We know it. You know it. The whole world knows it. Why are we just going to walk in off the street, try to make an appointment? You guys ever answer the phone? How do you like this one? You'll call right when they open because you figure the operator's got to be. And you get this, we're busy now with other calls. You're busy? You ain't even gotten away from the coffee pot yet. You're busy with other calls. And then they want to tell you their problems. And then it's always coming down to, well, the customers are rude. I believe that, too. I've seen a lot of customers act like slobs. I've also seen situations where you can be as sweet as pie and they're still treating you like crap, right? And I got to tell you, I got a low threshold for that. Now, I'll give you an example. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to say this. I'm on a United Airlines flight and I'm going to Chicago one day. This wasn't too long ago. I was on a wide body. And I was sitting in coach and I kind of had the row to myself. And the guy's coming down the thing with the drink cart. Now, it was a particularly hectic day, and it was a particularly full plane, although I had a couple of seats around me. The guy comes down the road with a drink cart. Can I get you a drink? Can I get you a drink? You know how they always say, can I get you a drink? What would you like to drink? Don't they always say that? The guy passed me right by. All right, fine. So as he walked back, I said, excuse me, but you didn't take my drink order. He said these words to me. He said, we're not mind readers, sir. Now, this is all I did when I got off the plane. I talked to the head, because they actually have a chief one. I said, won't be long now. You guys will be looking for a job. What are you talking about, sir? I said, well, United's going bankrupt, aren't they? Well, we're refiling, sir. Yes. Well, you know what? See that guy right there? And I pointed. He was standing there. I said, see this guy right here? He's just one more reason why you guys are going to be out in the street, man, and you're going to be going all aboard in about 6 months. How do you look at a little conductor cap, baby? Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8666. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.